Good morning. I don't know. It sure felt to me like Warren's worship team played those songs a lot faster than they normally do. Probably not. I'm just joking. Just when you're the one coming up, it just feels like it goes a lot quicker, the singing time, but it's all good. I'll get you to turn to John chapter 15. Just share a little bit out of this passage. But before I read it, let's just open a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love for us. Thank you for the songs that we sang here this morning. And think specifically of this last song, the way it started. In Christ alone, my hope is found. It is in you alone that we have hope. You've given us your word and made it so clear to us that the gift of eternal life is a free gift, and discipleship will cost us a lot. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for how clear it is. Thank you for this great opportunity that we have to gather together as believers here to just be uplifted together, Lord, to be challenged, and just to honor you and worship you. And I pray, Father, this morning as we have our communion service here that you will just guide our thoughts, Father, and help us to understand your word clearly. I pray, too, that we'll be drawn even closer to you. Just want to pray for Mike as he's in the Philippines, and for Henry, Jody, and George, Lord, as they're on their way to Texas. And just pray that you'll just be with them and keep them safe, Father, and also just that there will be fruit coming out of what they're doing there. Just ask you to guide us now as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'll share a little bit out of John chapter 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full or complete. I love this passage. It's such a beautiful passage and such a beautiful picture that Jesus gives us here of how we get our strength, to do the things that he's asked us to do. Even just the encouragement to get up in the morning and to know it's not about ourselves. In and of ourselves, we can do absolutely nothing. It's only through when we tap into the power of Christ. This event takes place on the Thursday before Good Friday. So this is just a little while before Jesus will be brought before the Jewish leaders and will be crucified. And this just happens just after the passage that Todd read about the Last Supper. and what they experienced there. And so, you know, I'm sure as Jesus was saying these words to his disciples, he probably had a little bit more expression than what I did. You know, when you think of, I don't know, but I'm thinking probably most of you have been at the bedside of somebody that's been close to death, or somebody that you have a feeling you might not see again, you know, and your ears are just wide open to what these people want to tell you, because it's probably going to be something that's significant. Not pretty sure not how what the weather is like outside, but it's going to be something very significant, and it's something that'll probably be with you for a very long time. And that was the case here with the disciples and with Jesus as well, as he was telling them these things. So we know that at this point, Judas had already left, as we read in John 13, verse 30, because of him going to betray Christ. And Jesus begins in verse 1 with, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So Jesus begins his analogy of the vine and branches by saying that he, Jesus, is the true vine, and God the Father is the vine dresser, or some versions have the gardener, but the one who takes care of these vines. And the branches are believers, including us. The branches are the believers who have faith, placed their faith in Christ. Now, when we were in Israel, we saw lots of vineyards, but being the time of year that we were there, it was in winter, none of them were green, so there was just sticks, rows and rows of them, lots of them. So we really didn't see a lot of things going on there. But as I've read too, and people have said, that grapevines are something that remain for a very, very long time, decades. And so the vine dresser or the gardener gets to know them pretty much like a shepherd knows his sheep. They really take care of them closely, and they know them well. So they know exactly what to do with each one, to cultivate them, to take care of them in a special way. In verse 2, we read, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. And I know some versions have where he cuts them off in this passage here, but it's what I've read, and it's not the best translation for this. Takes away is more fitting to what actually happens to grapevines. Because in winter, they let them down, and then in spring, they prop them up, or they lift them up so that the sun can get at them. They prune them, they clean them so that they can bear more fruit. And it's a beautiful picture of what Christ does with us as believers, where he is not out to get us when we fall. He's there to help us to bear more fruit, to challenge us, to cleanse us, to just to help us be more productive. Some people have said that takes away means if you persist in life without showing evidence of your salvation, you lose it, or that some would say that it proves that you never really had it to begin with. It's not what the scriptures teach. Jesus said to the disciples very clearly here, you are already clean. And just as the passage Todd read earlier in chapter 13, he said the same thing, except for one, which was Judas. So when Jesus says here, every branch in me, I believe very clearly proves that point. He makes it very clear. The New Testament repeatedly describes the believer as in Christ. And that's what Jesus says here, like every branch in me. Jesus here is focusing on the relationship believers have with the Father, which results in fruitfulness. Going on to the next verse here, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. I know I know my life. I don't know your lives, but I think as people, we're probably not all that different in regards to there's times in our walk with the Lord we feel very strong and close to Him, and there's times when we go through times where we struggle. And what does God do with us then? Just, you've had your chance, that's it? No. He works with us. He wants us to be close to Him. I keep thinking of the verse in 1 John 1, verse 9, where Jesus says, I forget how it starts, but if you confess your sins, that Jesus will forgive us and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's always longing to have that fellowship restored. And that's what it's talking about here. Jesus is always longing to have us close to Him. Another passage is in Revelation 3, verse 20, where Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. He wants to come in and to have fellowship with us. He longs that, so He's not there to get us. He's there to lovingly, with His grace, try to encourage us and to do whatever it takes so that we will have that fellowship restored. Fruitless branches refer to believers who are not in fellowship with Christ. So then Jesus goes on in verse 4, He says, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in Me. So what does it mean to abide? It's probably not a word that we use every day. I mean, it's fairly common in Scripture. What does it mean? Does it mean that just kind of when we feel like it? No. Abide means to remain, to dwell in, to be closely connected. When you think of the vine, a grapevine, well, you can think of almost any fruit tree, but specifically here talks about the grapevine. If a branch is disconnected, what happens? When you cut off a branch with green leaves, how long does it take for those leaves to get wilted and dry? Not very long. It's very quick. We need to be connected in Him for the long term to draw from Him. Within six verses here, in John 15, Jesus uses the word abide 10 times. It's very significant to what He's trying to get across to these disciples here. He's been with them for approximately 3 years up to this point, and He knows that He is not going to be with them there for a long period of time. He's telling them what is really, really important for them now and going forward. When Jesus says, abide in Me, it's not a suggestion or a request. It's not something that, yeah, go ahead if you want, but if you don't feel like it, that's okay. No, He requires it. It's an imperative. You know, you can pretty much sense the passion that He had, of the plea with His disciples when He said, abide in Me. In verse 6, if anyone does not abide in Me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If we do not abide in Him, there are serious consequences for that. Contrary to what some will teach, that means that you lose it or never had it, no, that's not what it means. This is talking about fellowship. As believers, people can get to the point where they walk away from Christ or they don't live in fellowship with Him. And if we don't come back, as we talked about before, if we don't confess and have that fellowship restored, there are consequences. And it says, He is thrown away as a branch. And that indicates a loss of fellowship. And cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And the fire here is obviously not a literal meaning of fire. It's in regards, I mean, for the branches, yes, but for talking about people, it's figurative. And it's indicating a loss of reward, or and would also include disappointment at the judgment seat of Christ. As believers, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It will not be determined where we will spend eternity, but what we have done with what Christ gave us. Remember, eternal life is a free gift. It's talking about temporal judgment. Because in John chapter 5, verse 24, we read, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Now, when I read this verse, it always makes me think, well, that's kind of opposite of how we as human beings think of the whole life and death thing. We are born and then we die. Jesus is saying here, those who believe in him have crossed from death to life. It's not life living and breathing as we know it, physical life here. It's eternal life that he's talking about here. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." That is what God wants from us. He wants us to be in close fellowship with him. He wants us to long to have fellowship with him so that we can be effective believers for him. That's what he wanted for the disciples. That's what he wants for us. "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So what does it mean in regards to abiding? Like, what does that mean to us? What do we need to do? It's one thing to say, yeah, you should be in close fellowship with God, but what does that look like? Well, the only way we can get to know God is through his word. And that's so we need to be in close fellowship with him every day and in prayer. But it is more than just reading his word. It is about a loving relationship with God himself, with his son Jesus, and knowing the one who the Bible speaks of. It's not about how much knowledge we have. We're all at different places in our walk with the Lord. But it's our desire to be with him, to long, to that we thirst for, that we just want to be more like him. You know, not that we read our Bibles and come to church, Bible studies, different things out of duty. Sometimes, some things, there's healthy guilt. And that's a good thing. But we should do it for simply wanting to be with him, to enjoy. And when I see everybody here this morning gathered around, and I believe that's why we are here, to enjoy the fellowship with the Lord and also with each other. We need this fellowship with each other. We need to be encouraged, to be challenged, and just to be reminded again and again what Christ has done for us, and that he loves us and has a plan for each one of our lives, for the church. "So these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Our eternal life, for those that have placed their faith in Christ, has started already at the moment we place their faith in him. So essentially, our eternal life has started in regards to the quality. I mean, that'll be more fully realized, obviously, when we are resurrected. But so let's just close in a word of prayer for my part here, and then I'll ask some of the men to come forward and share. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the beautiful words that you spoke to the disciples and just pleading with them to abide in you. Thank you for your great love that you have for us, the free gift of eternal life. Lord, we thank you again just for this opportunity that we have to be gathered here to remember you. Just ask you to lead us and guide us for the rest of this morning here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'd like to read in John 6, starting at verse 25. This is right after Jesus had fed the 5,000, and he's on the other side of the sea. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." As I was reading this, it just really encouraged me. When you read in verse 35, it says, "And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry." Just that there's this abundant supply. When we buy food here physically, it runs out and you got to go and buy more, and it never ends. Here we can come and eat and feed on the word spiritually, and we don't have to go hungry. We can choose to go hungry, but we don't have to. There's such an abundant supply here. As we feed on God's word, we can spiritually be fed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for sending your Son, that you were mindful of us. Thank you that he came to give his body on the cross to pay for the penalty of sin. Thank you that you give us life, and this life is in the Son. Pray that you'd be honored and glorified by our worship here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of the church, I'd like to thank those that went to Fisher Bay on Thursday, Friday, and they got the job done a whole day earlier than they expected. They got the roof shingled and the fascia put on and everything. That was excellent. Thank you very much. We've been traveling the last 2 weeks, and last Sunday we met in a church of, I think they have 1,500 people go to that church, and a staff of 15. I'm just very glad to be here, because I like to know each one of you. And I think the more and more I think about it, the more I see that we made the right decision as far as starting another body. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. I'm going to read between what Todd and Corny read. Where Todd was reading, Jesus reprimanded Peter. He had to be pretty tough with Peter sometimes because Peter was just a, I don't know. He says, then wash me all. No, that's not what it's about. And just be at the end of chapter 13, Peter says, Jesus had just told him that he was going to be gone. He was leaving them. And Peter said, well, I'm going to die with you if that's what it takes. You are not leaving me. Anyways, there's a bit of confusion amongst the disciples. And in verse 14, Jesus tries to reassure them. Verse 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. And I think as we meet for communion here in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, I think we remember as well these words, because he's going to come back to get us. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. Would I have told you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. And of course, the disciples are, what are we going to do? No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. As Jewish people, they knew who their father was, right? They knew where they wanted to be. But now Jesus tells them, the only way to get to him is through me. I'm your ticket. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him, because they had seen him. It's very reassuring words that Jesus gives these guys that are in a bit of a quandary, a little bit of a confusion. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning, for the opportunity to meet here together as fellow believers, friends, and family. Just pray, Lord, that you would be with the men that are not here with us today, and that you would keep them safe. Watch over them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I chose to read out John today. I was reading John 15 as well, and I'll just continue from verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask my Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your love to us. Thank you for giving us life, and you chose to love us when we were not lovable, and when we are not lovable, you still love us. And Lord, we want to do the same through people around us, that we can bear much fruit. I do pray these things in your name.
Well, I'll change things up a bit. You can turn to Colossians. Chapter 1, starting in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You were once alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to remember what you've all done for us. We pray that you would bless this juice as we remember the blood that you spilled for us. As the song said earlier today, that your blood covered our shame. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Looks like we should have maybe squeezed a few more grapes this morning. Anyway, I'll just ask you to stand, and I'll just close with a passage out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let's pray. Father, we come to you at the close of our service this morning, and we're so thankful for your sacrifice of love, that you were willing to give your life so that we could be set free. We just thank you for the truth that we find in your word. And just as you told the disciples when you ascended back to heaven, that you're going to come back one day. Lord, this is comforting for us as believers when we read this, that you are coming back, and that's something we look forward to. Help us to be faithful till that time comes. Help us to do our part in showing your love to the people around us. We thank you again for your great love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.